Aaron. I'm going to try to just use this as a microphone. How are we looking back there in the back? Tanner? Okay, good, 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 good. Now, if you can hear me, I have to be able to see you. So we'll have, as last time, those of you that were here back in May, I use glasses to see you, but I can see the word fine. It's just the that. Well, it's sort of the same feeling that I had before in the sense that somebody on television quoted this week. I thought it was a good quote. Mark Twain said this. He said, for public speakers, there's two types. There's people who get nervous, and then there's liars. So, okay. So I'm going to be pretty upfront about that. As I shared with you last time, and Brother Butch and Pastor Preacher Bill, I'm not anxious. You know, the Lord's, I'm here. I've got a message to share with you tonight, and I appreciate you all coming. Going to hone in on the young people near the end of it so I can see I've got a couple of grandkids down here so I can pick on them a little bit. So you sure you can hear me okay back there? Okay, good. So we do appreciate that. Let's see. Okay. I think that basically I'll tell you a little bit about what kind of has inspired me. And this is another message that has been on my heart for a while, just a topic. And as you know, I'm a retired physician, but the writings by Christian physicians kind of oftentimes have a special place in my heart. They oftentimes bring up two of my favorite loves, I think, that when I read Christian physicians a lot of times, and that's faith and then the needs of humans. You know, those two things, I'm just drawn to that. And so there's one tonight that I wanted to share with you a little bit here. His name is Paul Brand. He's now passed away. He's with the Lord, and his wife, too, I believe is now. He was a Christian surgeon, ministered to lepers in leper colonies in India, which there was a lot of leprosy. That's a disease you may be familiar with. It's a variant of tuberculosis. People's extremities go numb, and they lose their feelings. They lose their fingers. They lose their toes. They lose their eyesight. Paul Brand, very strong Christian, and his wife was an eye doctor to those. But anyway, Dr. Brand wrote a book called In His Image. He also wrote another one called Fearfully and Wonderfully Made. And in those books, this will kind of explain to you where I got this message started in my heart. He goes back to the gospel, to the Apostle Paul. And Paul spent a good bit of time in one chapter, and I thought Butch was going to hit on it this morning. He picks it out at 1 Corinthians 12, and luckily Butch said 2 Corinthians, and I kind of nudged Betty, I think, because I hope that was 2 Corinthians 12. But in 2 Corinthians 12, Paul illustrates the body of Christ with the human body, and that's what we're going to be talking about tonight. That's my plan. In a little bit, I'll share with you some of what I can see. We're just going to scratch the surface of God's plan for the body of Christ. And some of the provisions that God has made for the body of Christ, which we are just a small part of, right? But first, if you'll join me, we'll have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, again, we just want to thank you for anchoring our church with Pastor Josh and for all the teachers and those that you've gifted in our church, Lord, and Brother Butch and Preacher Bill and just all those over these even many generations that you've used here, Lord, we can picture those believers in the pews still, Lord, and we thank you for them. And we just thank you tonight. We come before you, Lord, needy and need your help to help get the message through that you've shared with me. And Lord, we especially, as was mentioned earlier, we bring before the throne those people that suddenly faced eternity, Lord, in these shootings that happened. Lord, there's a lot of families affected, a lot of people. Some have thankfully survived, and some had to face eternity instantly, it seems. So, Lord, we do pray for them. We pray that the body of Christ is a big body, and we pray that that body might somehow touch those families. You might provide healing where it doesn't seem humanly possible, Lord. And pray be with the doctors and all those who are caring for those that are wounded. Lord, again, we thank you. We thank you for the freedoms in our country to preach your word. We thank you for the body of Christ we have in America and the body of Christ that we share with believers from all over the world, Lord. We just pray your blessing on the message now, and we'll thank you and give you honor for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, if you would now open up to John chapter 17 in your Bible. At John chapter 17, I better do that too. This is a very familiar passage. I'm sure Brother Butch and Preacher Bill and probably Brother Josh have preached out of this chapter, but I really felt like this was the right place to start for this message, John 17. And particularly we'll look at verses 20 through 23. And this is oftentimes called the high priestly prayer. Jesus Christ, as you know, at this time, this is the same night that he is later going to be arrested. And then the next day during the afternoon, our Lord's going to be crucified. And this is a father to son direct prayer. A lot of potency to the first verses there. We won't go into those first verses. He knows he's coming to the Father, and the Father's going to restore his glory. But then he spends a lot of this chapter praying for his church. So if you'll look with me down in verse 20 of John 17, we'll pick up there in verse 20. He's talked about the men that he has had with him. That's, you know, Peter and the disciples that have been with him. He's talked about them. Now he's going to talk about us in verse 20. All these generations, he's looking to foreknowledge. He's looking down the road of life and can see all of these generations coming. And the Lord says, neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word, speaking of the testimony of the disciples, that they may all be one as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they may also be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. In the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one. I in them, and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me, and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. Now, if you look at those verses, I'd ask you for a minute just to look and see what word there sort of stands out to you that he kind of uses repetitively, talking about to the Father, about himself, the Father, and the church. Need a little help from the crowd here. It's a three-letter word. One. Thank you. That's it. Of course, they had a little prompting because they heard this practice earlier. But yeah, the word one. So it's he's talking about the church, that's us as believers, being one with him and the Father. And, you know, it's one of those moments you step back and think, wow, you know, we've been adopted. We're children. Christ is our brother. And, you know, we were adopted into that family. So very potent thought. And I think it's a kind of a good introduction again to where we're going to be here as we talk about the body of Christ. Let me just ask you a few questions, and maybe some of them will look to Scripture. And just remember now, this body of Christ, also tonight we're going to call it the church, so that young people may not be familiar with that, but it's called the bride of Christ. Sometimes in Scripture we're called and last time I spoke, we talked about the bride of Christ. Remember the finally coming to the marriage supper of the Lamb. Also we're called the body of Christ, and sometimes we're just called the church. But, you know, most of you, I'm sure, are aware of this, but the church, you know, this building is called Bluestone Baptist Church, but the church is the people. You know, it's the born-again people. The building's been, you know, church buildings are set aside, but they are not the church. The church is the family. Our local church, you know, from the 200th year picture in the back, a lot of you have seen it. Probably about half of you were here then, too, in probably 96, I think it was. We had the picture done out there and the photo on the wall, panoramic view of the church. That's a little glimpse of our local church. So that's what we're talking about tonight is that on a large scale, the body of Christ, all these ancient times, all the apostles, and all those generations of believers, some of whom we can remember in this church, all the way up to our generation and then the upcoming generation. All these that have professed faith in Christ are part of the body of Christ. So now looking at this, message here, when we look at this, Jesus is speaking to his Father and he's talking about the church, that's you and I. Who is he asking for protection from? Who's he asking to protect this church after he goes home to be with the Lord? Basically, he's asking the Father, isn't he? He's asking God the Father, his Father, our Father, to be the one to protect our church. That's, you know, I think that's, we'd all have to say that's pretty reassuring. Jesus was so confident that way before he was crucified, if you turn with me back to Matthew chapter 16, let me find that. Matthew chapter 16, verse 18. This is very early in his ministry. Matthew 16, 18. This is when, that's a section where Simon Peter, Christ said, you know, Christ was had questions that, what do people think about me? And he asked them, and Peter, you know, the one that always speaks first, Peter said, you know, you're the Christ, the Son of the living God. And if you look with me, he blesses Simon's answer. And then verse 18, and he says, and I say unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. So how long is the church going to last? Well, Christ is telling us there, it's going to endure right up to the end, right up to where we were at 3 months ago when I was speaking, till the Lord takes us home and we someday, all the church has the marriage supper of the Lamb. So that's the kind of confidence, protection, and confidence we have. Asking you another question, talking about the church, when was the church born? Anybody want to have a... Yes, thank you, back there. Pentecost, Pastor. Yeah, Pentecost, you know. These disciples, in fact, our pastor was just sharing with us here recently, Peter, you know, pretty much clueless, I guess would be a pretty good word, and a lot of times, other times he hit on it, just hit the nail on the head there, but the disciples really didn't become the infant, powerful church until the Holy Spirit, you know, descended on them at Pentecost. So that's when the church was born, and now we have from the scripture confidence that it's going to endure. It's endured all the way up till now. I was thinking about this. This wasn't written down to add on here, but you know, we live in an age where there's so much scamming. I mean, if I ask for everybody to raise their hand, how many times in the last week you've had a phone call that, you know, told you your credit card, give me the number or you're going to be in big trouble, you know, or just as I was preparing this message, I had another call. And I thought, you know, we live in an age of dishonesty, right? And that's how people are making their living sometimes. But this, the message of Christ, and all the way through the Bible, the scripture, it's so refreshing. It should be so refreshing to us. Just like Farron's song, you know, we're safe in the hands of God. It's, you know, it's true and it's honest, and it's going to endure through us and on through the rest of the generations that come after us until the Lord takes the church home. I think it's just refreshing, you know, in an age that we live in. Let me find my place here. Yeah. Okay. Now, if you'll open up to 1 Corinthians 12, we'll get down to the next part of this, which is sort of the meat of the message there. 1 Corinthians 12, and this is what I alluded to earlier. This is when Paul makes reference to the church, and he's trying to picture the church. You know, you and I can close our eyes. We can't really picture the body of Christ. We'll come back to that again later, but it's a huge body. It encompasses believers from all countries, from all ages. But Paul wants to picture it as a living organism. And here in 1 Corinthians 12, verse 12, there's a lot of verses here. I'd encourage you to try to read this some other time. But in 1 Corinthians 12, 12 says, "For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ." Okay. And verse 14, "For the body is not one member, but many." And it goes on to say, you know, the foot says to the eye, you know, I'm the body. Now, the eye can't function without the foot. You know, each part of the body, and it even goes on to say, even the unseemly parts. I think of, you know, teenagers' feet, okay, right? You guys ever had any teenagers and had some socks come off of the foot of a teenage boy? Nate, you don't have to hear this yet, okay? But there's some parts of our body that, you know, they're... But what will we do without our feet? You know, we're being a dilemma. It's part of the blessing. So Paul is saying, let's just picture the body of Christ as this human body. And now I'd like to take a minute, and we won't really go to medical school. If we were in medical school, what we would do is I'd have them douse the lights, we'd light up the screen, and they start showing slides. Okay, that's kind of how med school was back when I was in it. They just had slide after slide. And, of course, you knew you were going to be tested on all of that information later on. But for tonight, just think about the human body. And when I think about it for this part, you know, the human body is intricate, isn't it? And And the best way to describe it is there's many, many systems in our body, and over a trillion cells, many, many systems, and all these systems have to coordinate and orchestrate just to maintain our life, just for us to be alive and be doing what we're doing in this room right now. Like Josh said one time, if you're hearing my message, then you have a pulse. Okay, so I think everybody in here is alive, so that's good. So it's just amazing. It's so intricate. And then when you think about the body, I like to picture it. Paul didn't know about the cells at that time, but I think it's useful to look at the cells of the body, individual cells. And most of you know, even Nate and the others, they're microscopic. You know, the cells in our body are very small, but every cell has a specific function, doesn't it? Each part of our body has a function. There's no cells in our body that are useless, right? I mean, what would it be there for? It wouldn't last very long, basically. And that's amazing to me. So every part has a function. Another truth of the human body that applies here is how are those cells, in order for those cells in our body to be alive, what do they have to have? They got to have nutrition, right? And then they have to be cleansed. You got to get nutrition. You got to be cleansed. And that's on a continuous basis. And this is pretty incredible to me, too. But in the human body, there's no cell in our body that's more than the breadth of one hair away from a blood source. You know, from some kind of a blood source. Capillaries get smaller and smaller till the red cells just barely can tank right through it. But every cell is taken care of. It has a blood source. And we all know in the human body, if you don't have a blood source to a finger or part of your body, it's not going to survive, you know. So that's just a little picture of that. Now, if we think about the spiritual body of Christ, I think the parallels are great. In this body, instead of it being human blood cells going through the body, I think we can see that in the church that God's provided, the body of Christ, it's the Holy Spirit that energizes that body. That's what takes care of all the parts, like all the parts of us in here tonight and all the other places that are worshiping tonight and this weekend and this week to come. It's the Holy Spirit that's feeding each part, bringing in the food and taking out, which is basically like confession and other things we do as believers, cleansing us. It's an ongoing living process. And I think that's just amazing. And another part about that body, just like I was saying, in the human body, every cell has a role to play. You know, in the church, every person has a gift that's given by God, at least one gift. I think the Bible's pretty clear. Everybody has at least a spiritual gift. Now, some of them, we can just go around and point at a few fingers, and we know what their gift is pretty much here tonight. Won't mention too many names like the guy that was singing here before me, who I think you know. But you know, we just see that God gifts the church and so that we can be part of something much bigger than ourselves, right? And he brings these parts into the body, and that part is just amazing to me. It's just another sign that it's a living organism. Wait a second. Got to get my pages back in line here again. Okay, good. Yeah. And sometimes, and tonight, for instance, there's probably some believers. Well, we mentioned here Susan Osborne, and then a guy named Michael who's who knows where on the other side of the world, right? So there's some believers tonight that are out in other places on the road. And that same Holy Spirit that we get when we're saved, it's an amazing thing to me that the Holy Spirit's with us. And if you meet a believer sometimes in a strange place, I'm sure a lot of you have been believers that have been in some place, and you find somebody or somebody comes to talk to you, and shortly the spirits commune somehow. I don't know how that happens, but you come to realize you're both Christians, and it's like a tremendous bond. It's like a tremendous connection, and that's another spirit-led thing. And for that example, I hope Kay doesn't mind too badly here. She knew that I might pick on her. Betty's cousin, Kay Wilcox, up here, she has been like farther, like for us in West Virginia, like when the DeWitts went to Hawaii, that's like, wow, you know. But she's been overseas more times than you got fingers to count. But one time Kay was sharing with Betty and I last night, about 2 years ago, she was in a town called Wengen, Switzerland. And if you go home and just Google it up, W-E-N-G-E-N, incredible. And it was just the church. You could look for the church's picture there too. But she said she was there. And, you know, when you're a believer and you're away from home, you kind of hunger for this. You know, after a while, we kind of realize we need some of that spiritual contact. And they have the Church of England has a small church there in Wangen, right up on top of the hill. And it's got the Alps behind it, so you do need to take a look at the pictures. But Kay was there, and they had a church service on a regular basis. Kay got to go in there. But it was wintertime, is that right, Kay? It was summertime. So there was a person, there was on a Tuesday, I think you said, and there was a lady there who was Swiss who was just going to be there kind of to make a little informal, what would you call it? Meet and greet. Thank you. Okay. And so there was Kay who was there, an American. There was a Swiss lady. There was a man from India that apparently ran an orphanage. And the man from India and Kay asked the lady nicely, said, would you share the word with us? You know, would you share something from the word with us? So she went ahead and did that. And then a Japanese man came huffing and puffing up the hill, because it's on a hill, and got in there. And he didn't know much English, apparently, Kay. And he just said, me Christian too, basically something like that, me Christian too. He knew what was going on. They ended up all at one point after that, they all held hands and had a word of prayer, okay, is that right? Pretty much right. So that's just another time. So it's a privilege to have the Holy Spirit within us. But I think those of us that have been in church, we recognize that, you know, there's a special thing that happens in a church service, God's provision for it. He uses the Holy Spirit, you know, when we're in here, when I felt that last time when I spoke, he used that Holy Spirit to convict hearts. I mean, it's a supernatural project, okay? Right, Butch? So you've seen that. So the Holy Spirit can, the body of believers together, I'm not sure exactly, of course, the Bible says where two or three are gathered together, there I am with you. The Holy Spirit can convict the unbelievers. It convicts us as believers of our lives, too. So it's just a very great privilege. Okay. Now, I think... And that's where I'm going to spend the last part of the message on is some of the provisions of Christ, the Christ through the body of Christ. And this is a little bit more of a personal type thing in a sense, a little bit of my life. I shared some of my life with you all before. And you probably realize I didn't get saved until I was 21. Well, Betty over here had already been a Christian for like 15 or umpteen years, about 15 actually, I think. So I'm like here on the starting line and she's like, already done three laps, okay? So I had to quickly start to grow, and this is where I would say for Nate and Abby and others of you, some of you may end up having to move. Hopefully everybody will be able to stay here, but sometimes life brings you changes. But it is so important for us to have a local body of Christ, and I just sort of stumbled into this by becoming a Christian at 21. I took church seriously enough. I bet he was an example in front of me. And Jenny Lee, my aunt, right beside her there too. I had so many believers ahead of me. Betty's parents, John Allen, Virginia, that I felt like I had to learn. So, and I did. And I didn't have to go to college for learning that the scripture. Just had to go to church. And I found that the body of Christ was a tremendous resource for me. And I think just recently I've looked back and I've said, wow, that was. You know, that's got a lot to do with what the Lord let me do in life was the resource that he provided through these churches. The early church, first one was in Fairfax, Virginia, met in an elementary school where I was saved, then Johnson's Chapel, then Faith Baptist Church in Morgantown where Nathan goes, then a small church in South Carolina which had like 13 members, Pastor Hyatt, and then this church. So it's just been incredible. Now, just a couple things about that, like I say, specific examples. One was in Morgantown. One time I was taking up the offering, which several of you guys helped me do here and help us all do here. And when we got to the front of the church at Faith Baptist, Pastor Moran was going on talking about, I'm not sure what, but the man beside me, Brother Hagedorn, older believer, a little shorter than me. His son's a preacher, Terry Hagedorn. But Bob looked up and he said, what are you doing these days? And I said, well, I'm in graduate school. And he said, oh, okay, what are you studying? So I told him I was studying pharmaceutical sciences, which I kind of had backed into that because I got accepted to pharmacy school, but we didn't have enough money with Heather already being around to afford pharmacy school. So they offered me this graduate program. So Anyway, that was pretty much the end of that conversation, but I could tell Bob was not satisfied with my answer. And he sort of prompted me to start thinking, and you know how life is, but God used another Christian physician then. One time I got sick, about a year later, ended up seeing a doctor, and he started talking to me about my career so far, and he said, well, you know, you sound a lot like the career I had. What about medical school? And so anyway, it wasn't just a coincidence. You know, looking back, you know how God works. I went home and told Betty. She realized I was serious this time about that idea. And it's just amazing how sometimes God uses the local church members. Another time we were at Jimmy Jones's church, Johnson's Chapel, and I was a school teacher. I'd already figured out I'd never live very long if I stayed a school teacher, okay? I figured that out. I would never have been a Mary Pat or Susan Osborne. I would have died very young. But so I figured that much out. But I went up to Jimmy Jones, preached a message, and then it was all over, and we were going down. He was walking down the aisle, as I recall, on that side. And I went up. I just had an urge. I knew God wanted to do something with me, but I was still kind of not sure what it was supposed to be yet. So I just sort of stopped him. I guess Betty stood off the side and asked him to have a word of prayer with me, and he did. And it's just, you know, it's that church body, and I would say this for Nate and Abby and all of us in the church, we should never underestimate the benefits of your church family. And part of this message was to say, and I kind of got off that point, but we think about the body of Christ, but when you go to picture the body of Christ, really what the New Testament and the Bible pictures and what Paul pictures when he's talking to these different believers and that he's been in these different cities, he's picturing the small church in the homes. He mentions Priscilla and Aquila. They had a church in their house. Okay, it wasn't a building. It was just their house. So God uses the body of Christ, the church, the bride of Christ is made up of all these local churches. And God, you know, the amazing thing to me is God works through these local churches to meet the needs of our little communities. You know, so we're like the local church in Jumping Branch. And, you know, we're called, you know, what's the mission of the church? That's, if you flip over to Matthew 28, 19 and 20, I was going to mention that earlier, but so as a church, even our little church has the same mission that the big churches do. It says, and Jesus is talking to his disciples in Matthew 28, verses 19 to 20, and this is the famous verse, the Great Commission. It says, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. So, you know, we have a mission. We have a purpose. God's got a plan for our local church. And God's got provisions for it. Okay. Now, let's see. And we talked about the human body. I hope that kind of brought that to you. A lot of other metaphors are used in the scripture for the church. One of them is the temple. We won't get into that just this part tonight. Now, if you'll flip open to the book of Hebrews, toward the back of your scripture, this sort of encourages me and you. Here we go. Hebrews chapter 2. Yeah. In Hebrews chapter 2, we're going to start reading verse 5. And really, what Paul is doing, we think here, is he's quoting from Psalm number 8. That's one of David's psalms. Pretty well-known psalm. You'll recognize the words in it. But I think this really does kind of tie together the humanness of us as people and the power and majesty of God. You know, so Hebrews 2:6 says, one in a certain place testified, and Paul is referring back to David's psalm here, taking it word for word. What is man that thou art mindful of him, or the son of man that thou visitest him? Thou madest him a little lower than the angels. Thou crownest him with glory and honor, and did set him over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things in subjection under his feet. For in that he put all in subjection under him, he left nothing that is not put under him. But now we see not yet all things put under him. But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with a glory and honor, that he by the grace of God should taste death for every man. Let's see. Yeah. Yeah, that's the last verse I'll read there. But so I think Jesus basically is a captain. I meant to say that earlier, but he's, when we talk about the body of Christ, it's very clear. In fact, we'll switch over to it. Ephesians, if you would go there for me for a minute. It's Colossians chapter 1. When we're talking about the body of Christ, I neglected to mention something that I think you already know, but Colossians 1:18. In fact, talking about the Lord, this is an incredible, verse 17 is so incredible, we have to incorporate it there. And then it talks about our spiritual body, the body of Christ in verse 18. It says, he is before all things, and by him all things consist, and he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. So clearly the head of this spiritual body, the head of the body of Christ, is Christ. It's his mind that controls it. The Holy Spirit, you know, empowers and energizes this body that you and I are part of. It's just, I think, amazing to me. It's just part of God's provision here is just absolutely amazing. And again, sort of to conclude there, I think that when we can have a lot of numbered pages, but if you get them out of order, they don't do you much good. Okay, I found it here, folks. Actually, I'm doing pretty good. I haven't had to wear the glasses much. You guys look like you're smiling, all right? So, and to conclude, I think as an overview, God's already made the provision for us. Some folks are not, haven't got a local church that they're a member of. I would encourage everyone, I think, to maximally use the gifts that God has given you and maybe gifts that you haven't even discovered yet. I would encourage you to be part of a living local church. When I say local church, I needed to qualify. Butch and Pastor Fox would want me to qualify that too. We're talking about a Christ-centered, Bible-believing church where the Word of God is the authority. Christ is lifted up, salvation by grace through faith, all those non-negotiable points. Make sure, for Nate and Abby and these others, some of you may, I don't see anybody else too much in the really young age group, but whenever you do move out in life or you're visiting another place, remember that's the church that Christ is talking about. He's talking about the Bible-believing church, the ones that know he's the Lord, that he's the head. He has to have the preeminence, doesn't he? So if the church doesn't have those things right, then that's not the right place to be. You need to. God's going to provide you if you pray about it. I like a line that Preacher Bill has done. I've heard Preacher Bill say this at Bobby Deeds' service, and it's true. I think if people pray about it, God will put people where he wants them in the local churches. So I think we've been blessed here so much to have people that we have for our church family, but God's in the business of tempering that church to just what he wants. And I think we need to always remember that. So tonight, basically, was a point to try to remind you that of something most of you know about, the body of Christ. We're part of it. It's here to stay. God's continuing to use it. He wants to use you and me. He wants us all to use whatever gifts he's given us. And he's got plans to make that church endure, even despite the news. It's going to endure till he takes it home. So I think it's a great, great consolation. So tonight here in the invitation time, so we have an invitation. I haven't really spoke too much to the law about the lost. I think everyone here is a professing Christian. If you're not, the first step, as Brother Josh would say, is a relationship. I think we all have to have a relationship with Christ. I mean, that's the first step of, that's where you become, where you're born again. It's become in a relationship. So if you haven't gotten that relationship, feel free to stay after Butch Honaker or any of the deacons, and several of us here would be more than glad to share with you about that. Or if the service message somehow has touched your heart about the need to be a part of a local church and you're not a membership, that's something to consider too. I think there are a lot of men here. The men in the households have to make decisions for their children to a certain stage. So just, it's a prayerful thing. It's an important thing. And, the body's already there and it's available. God wants us to be used. Okay, Brother Farron, if you'd come forth and have an invitation.
Number 356.